Our scripture this morning, we're coming from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 33, and I'll be reading out a New International Version, and it begins as this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are a highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled of his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord of God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." I read to you Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through the 33rd verse. May the Lord have a blessing on the hearers and the doers of his word.
I'm blessed to have the opportunity to, and we're going to do it as a joint sermon with Reverend John Jones. And so I just want to say a special thank you for the opportunity that we have as congregations to be able to worship together. And then also we're even looking forward in the next year to begin to do some more ministries together. So let's thank God that that's a hope and a dream that we're moving towards. Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. There was a lady who was talking with her doctor, and she said, "Doctor, I'm 20 weeks pregnant. When will my baby move?" Harley Hamm sang the song, Mary, did you know? And I was thinking about that there are a lot of things that Mary didn't know. Mary had no idea of the difference that her child would make. Mary had no idea of the weight that would be placed upon her child's shoulders. When the angel Gabriel told Mary that she would give birth to Jesus, the Son of God, she had no idea about what all of this would mean. But as I think about it, there's one other thing that I think that Mary didn't know. She didn't know, why me? Why me? A lot of times when people ask that question, why me? It's about some trial or some difficulty in their life, and they ask, why me? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to go through this pain? Why me? But Mary's was a completely different question. Her question was, why me? Why should I be so exalted? Why me? Why should I be so honored? I saw a meme on the internet, and this is what it was, a picture. It's got the little kid, and he says, "Don't ask why me, ask why not me." I love the determined look on his face with a handful of sand. Yeah. Why not me? Last week, the kids led the worship service, and they did an absolutely great job in that, didn't they? Let's thank God for them. Wow. And in the play, the character who was playing God said that he was going to send his son to the world, and the tagline that kept getting repeated by the angels was, "Brilliant! They'll never expect that." And they said it over and over again. Well, when you think about Mary at this time of the scripture would have been very young, between 14 and 16 years old, still living with her parents and betrothed for a year to a man named Joseph, whom she'd never slept with. She was poor. She's from a backwater town, not even mentioned in a first century map. She was a peasant. She wasn't royal, and she was probably illiterate. And she is supposed to be the mother of God? Brilliant! They'll never see that coming. Adam Hamilton, in his book, Not a Silent Night, uses the illustration of Prince Charles. What if instead of marrying Lady Diana, he married a scullery maid who cleaned the toilets in the royal palace? What if a servant from common birth was to give birth to the future king of England? England would be in an uproar. They wouldn't have it. No way. It would be unthinkable. God looked at Mary, a poor young servant girl, and God didn't see all the reasons for it not to be her. God looked and saw all the possibilities within her. Mary is going through a time of questioning and trying to understand why her. She visits her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's baby leaps within her womb. And we remember who Elizabeth's baby would be. It's who? John the Baptist, that's right. And Mary sings a song of praise as Elizabeth is able to give her comfort and a little bit of understanding. And this is the song of praise that Mary sings. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me what? Blessed. For he who was mighty and has done great things for me, and as holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who what? Fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the what? The proud. And the imaginations of their hearts. And he has put down the who? The mighty from their throne. And exalted those of low degree. See, God chose Mary not in spite of her humble start, but because of her humble start. God gives preferential treatment to the poor and oppressed. Let me say that again. God gives preferential treatment to the poor and the oppressed. God exalts the lowly. God strengthens the weak. God welcomes the stranger. God chose Zachariah and Elizabeth when they were old. God chose Moses when he couldn't speak. God chose David when he was the smallest. God chose Moses even in spite of the fact that he was a fugitive. Why is this? Why does God so often choose people that will make us say, they'll never see that one coming? Because God strengthens the weak. God is the one who is exalted. When God makes righteous the unrighteous, God is the one who's praised. God chooses the humble instead of the proud, who might mistakenly think that it's about them. I'll never forget the time when I had the celebration of my ministry here, and many people came, and it was a great celebration, and a little kid asked me afterwards, does this mean you own the church? And my dad, who was a pastor for 36 years, was right beside me. And no, that means he needs to be the last one to shut the lights off. So we need to be humble. It says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God does what? Opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he might what? Exalt you. We have to be careful, because it's so easy for us to read this scripture and to think in our mind, yeah, God's talking about other people, right? He's talking about somebody else, because we aren't rich. We aren't the fortunate ones. We aren't the proud ones. Or are we? We are rich in the eyes of the world, and there are literally thousands of people marching to America that would gratefully do anything for a chance to have the kind of life you already have. And guess what? We don't even appreciate it. Hmm? What are we so quick to do? Oh, how's your day? Oh, it's horrible. Oh, my hot coffee wasn't hot enough. Oh. I'm too full to eat dessert. Oh. Am I kidding? You go around and you just think about the conversations you had this morning. Oh, how are you this morning? Oh, what did people say to you? Oh, I could barely get up. There wasn't even a seat at the church that I could sit where I wanted to sit. Oh. People would do anything to have the opportunities that you have, and we take it for granted. We don't even appreciate it. We get to come to church and worship, and guess what? We are so blessed. If the first church in the first century were to come and see all of our blessings and all of the opportunities we have and to see the influence we have in our culture, they think we got it made. And yet all we talk about is, oh, the church is dying, or, oh, look at all of our problems, or how bad this is. We are the rich. We are the fortunate. We are blessed, and so often we take it for granted. See, the challenge for us is to be humble and to give God the glory. Be humble and what? Give God the glory. But too often we treat others as if they are beneath us when we're impatient with the people that are serving us. When we're impatient with our spouse or our children, when we demand others to be perfect and yet we never hold ourselves to the same standards. See, what's going to happen is you're going to be humbled either one way or another. Let me say that again. You're going to be humbled either one way or the other. Either God's going to humble you or you're going to humble yourself. Either God's going to humble you or you're going to humble yourself. Now, the difference is when God humbles you, oh, that's front page news there, you know, that everybody knows when God has to humble you. But when we can learn to humble ourselves, what happens is we realize our role. We are a servant. And that's what God saw in Mary's heart, the heart of a servant. Pastor.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this great opportunity that you've given us, that we could come before your congregation, that you may use us today, that hearts and minds may be touched and challenged and inspired to go forth and tell this dying world about your precious Son. We just want to thank you for this great opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. God chose Mary because of she was full of grace in her life. And one of the things that I look at when it comes to Mary, I look at a young lady, a very young lady, that was poor. She lived in a very poor city. And I remember as Jesus was gathering his disciples, and one of the disciples went to Nathanael and told him about, we found the Messiah. And they asked, and Nathanael asked the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, sometimes we forget, we judge people by where they come from. Maybe what they wear, the clothes they, the car they drive, where they live. But we neglect to see the greatness that God has in each one of us. Because one of the things that I looked at, we have untapped energy that if we would allow God to use us, we will be surprised of what he will manifest in us. And when I look at this, it says another way of saying, Hail Mary, full of grace. Maybe you heard this before. It says to be favored is to be shown grace, to be treated special in a way you don't deserve. Grace is God's unmerited, undeserved gift, which cannot be paid for or earned. So when you think about what God gives to each one of us, that he gave to Mary, his unmerited favor. And when you look, you think about the favor of God, you know, and one of the things that I realized is if justice had been done, this whole room would be clean. Because we would have been dead years ago if justice had been done. But God extended his grace toward us. Scripture says that while we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, God sent his only begotten Son, that he came and he died for us, that we could have eternal life. And so a lot of times people think that they deserve grace. But one of the things that I realized, the closer I get to God, the more I realize that I don't deserve it. It breaks my heart sometimes when I think about the way that I used to live. And I think about God, how he was so patient with me when he should have let me go years ago. But he was patient with me. And he allowed me, as he extended his grace to me, in a way that every time I messed up, he continued to extend his grace to me. And finally, one day, I came to my senses. And I realized what I had been through, it wasn't luck, but it was God's grace. And so when I look at the grace that had been extended to Mary, a very poor girl, and coming out of a poor city. And when you look at her, I'm pretty sure there was nothing special about her. But God knew her heart. God knew she was the one that would be humble enough, that would be faithful enough to bring his son into the world. So when we look at grace, when we look at the grace of God, how it's been extended to all of us, you know, we have a lot to really shout about. There was a song that I was listening to the other night, and it said, talked about, it's the name of the group is Mercy Me, and the name of the song is Grace Got You. And it goes on to say, these are some of the words that really caught my attention. Laugh till your whole side hurts. Smile like you just got away with something. Why? Because you just got away with something. Ever since grace got you. Ever since grace got you. You know, and the thing about it, a lot of people don't understand. They haven't got it yet. What God done for us. How he saved us. You know, and what he saved us from? He saved us from his wrath. And he talks about one day his wrath is going to be poured out upon this earth. All of those that are not in Christ. They're going to visit their eternal home in Hades, in hell. In eternal lake of fire, where you know, eternity does not end. So when you think about what he saved us from, we would be joyous. We would be really laughing with joy because of what God has done for us. And you know, I'm reminded of a story. I mean, I'm reminded of something that happened to me the other a few weeks ago. I had this CD that this bookstore had sent me. And I just kind of threw it to the side, and it was there. It was there probably for about a year, and so my office get kind of cluttered up, and I have the mindset I need to go in and clean this thing out. I need to throw stuff away, just clean up. So I saw this CD, and I was about to pitch it. I said, "Let me listen to it to see just exactly what's on it." And when I stuck this CD in the machine and I began to play it, I was so surprised of the beautiful praise songs that was on this CD. I said, you know, I was about to throw this away. This is a precious gift. This ministers to me. You know, and I still play that CD even today because of the songs, because how they minister to me. And you know, a lot of times we throw things away and we don't even know the value of them. We throw people away and we don't even know the value of them because we're so quick to look at the cover and not really tap into what that person is really about. You know, God has blessed all of us. And when we think about the goodness of God, his grace that he's given to us, it makes you want to shout for joy because he's given us something that we can't pay for it. He's given us something that we don't deserve. He's given it to us anyway. He gave us grace through his precious son. When Brother Harlan sang that song, you know, I've heard him talk before, but I didn't know he could sing. You know, it touched my heart, you know, because every one of us have talents that God wants us to use. And we, you know, that song ministered to me. I heard that song when it first came out years ago. I talked to a guy that wrote the music for that song. And as that song has passed along through the years, you know, it has taken on a deeper meaning. Because basically when you think about it, when I think about that song, Mary, did you know? Did you know that when you kiss the face of your child, you kiss the face of God? Oh, to me, oh, that's powerful. I would have loved to have been there just to touch him, just to touch the garment that was wrapped around him. My father, my
my Lord, my Savior, the one that is so powerful that when he speaks, things come into existence. He's so holy, he's righteous. Scripture talks about how his train, and Isaiah talked about how his train, when he saw God for the first time, how his train filled the temple and smoke filled the temple because of his holiness. God is holy. And he was in the form of this little baby being held by Mary. To me, that's a great privilege and honor. And one of the things I look at also being a great privilege and honor, being called a child of God. I hold it very, very highly to be called a child of God. Because basically, in Scripture lets us know that God chose us. We didn't choose him. I ran from him for years because I didn't want to be, I knew a little bit about God, but I didn't know how valuable he was to my life. Because I thought that I was who I am because of who I am. But I didn't realize that it was God. That it was God that held me, that gave me what I needed. Even when I didn't deserve, and I don't deserve it now. And even though I know I don't deserve it, but he continues to bless me anyway. To give me the thing. He promised us that he would give us everything that we needed. You know, I can have that promise from a person, from a human being, but I know, you know, they're limited in what they do, but I know God is not limited in anything that he does. He can supply my needs from, if he decided to leave me here for 10,000 years, he would supply my needs each and every day. That's grace. That's grace. Just like the song was saying, grace has got you. You know, and no matter what happens, it can't change your destiny. No matter what happens in our life, it cannot change our destiny. Pastor Joe talking about the things that we ask questions sometimes. Why me? And I turn around and ask, why not me? I'm his vessel. He will use me to draw people to him any way he chooses fit. And just like Mary, Lord, not my will, but let thine will be done in my life. I want you to be glorified in what I do and what I say. I want you to be glorified because truly you deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that you've done and all that you continue to do in our lives each and every day. And Mary was open to the grace. You know, we have to be open to God. When he touches our heart, when he tugs on our heart, we have to be open. Because truly, I can't think of anyone that I would like to represent in God. Because truly, what he does, what he's done for us, and what he continues to do for us each and every day, he holds back these things that try to pounce upon us and try to cause us to be void of our ministries. God holds them back. He gives us grace. And Scripture says that where sin abound, grace did much more abound. In other words, you can't outgive God. And I just want to thank him for what he's done and what he's doing in our lives right now. Amen.
Adam Hamilton gives us one other part to think about this when we're talking about Mary being filled with grace, and that's that she was literally being filled with the grace of God. The grace of God was growing in Mary's life in a way more completely than in any other person in history. John 1:14-16 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. And from his fullness we have received grace upon grace." You know that there's power in grace because grace in the form of forgiveness has the power to turn enemies into allies. There was a guy at Marquette Manor Retirement Center. His name was Bill Boxdollar. And Bill Boxdollar fought against Japan in World War II. And so the war ends, but in his mind, the Japanese people are still his enemy. He doesn't want to buy their cars. He doesn't want to buy their computers. He doesn't want anything that has to do with Japanese people. And he's letting me know this, okay? Well, guess what happens? His grandson moves to Japan to teach English, falls in love with a Japanese lady, gets married, and they have a baby. Now, Bill Boxdollar knows that God is calling him to forgiveness. He's known this ever since he left Japan. He knows this. And yet, it's not until that moment that he's willing to say, okay. He comes to the worship service, and we pray for him, for God to be able to do his grace and mercy and forgiveness in his own heart. And then Bill flies over to Japan to meet his great-grandson. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. What took that to happen? It took a baby, right? It took a baby to have Bill Boxdollar's heart filled with grace, love, and forgiveness. Not just for how he would forgive them, but when he arrived, his very enemies embraced him and held on to him. Now, think about this. It takes another baby to reconcile the whole world. It says this in Romans 5:10, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Remember this picture. Don't ask why me. Ask why not me. Ultimately, when it comes right down to it, the biggest reason why Mary had nothing to do with Mary at all, but it had everything to do with God. God chose her. God chose her. And God could have chosen anyone. And if God can choose anyone, then God could choose you. If God can choose anyone, then God can choose you. And the truth is, God has already chosen you. Mary carried Jesus in her womb, but we get the chance to carry Jesus in our hearts. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would open the door, I will come in. A lady's talking with her doctor, and she says, doctor, I'm 20 weeks pregnant. When will my baby move? And the doctor says, with any luck, right after he graduates from college. God is moving within us today. Calling us to love the unlovely, calling us to forgive as we have been forgiving, and helping to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. Don't ask why me, ask why not me. Amen.